Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 4th of September 2011. Hello and welcome, thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week Andy's continuing our look at Jesus with Jesus our Judge. And the reading, which I'll read in a minute, is John chapter 3 verses 1 to 21. So I'll do the reading now and then Andy will start the sermon. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if they were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born again when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter the second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved the darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. So everyone who does evil hates the light, and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so it may be seen plainly what they have done and have been done in the sight of God."
Just wanted to use that passage as a launch pad. It's so well known for us, to us, isn't it? But to use it as a launch pad, if you're visiting or you've been away for a while, we are looking at the moment at a series just simply on Jesus. We're just looking at various aspects of his character, his nature, and his work. And this morning, I want to speak on the subject of Jesus, our Judge. And the launch pad are those two verses, verse 16 and verse 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Isn't that good news? Isn't that wonderful news? The starting place for this theme of Jesus our Judge has to be God is Judge. In the aftermath, I don't know if you've been following it yourself, but in the aftermath of the riots of a few weeks ago, we are still hearing about people who have been given sentences by the courts. This week, an 11-year-old boy, the youngest person to be sentenced so far, was given an 18-month youth rehabilitation order for his involvement in the disturbances in Romford. And as always, there is much debate about whether the judgments are too severe or too lenient. Since the creation of the world, God has been the only legitimate judge over the whole of creation. And his judgments are always right. The psalmist declares in Psalm 96, Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. As I read that, a smile came to my face earlier this week, because I pictured all these people going to the courts in London to face the judge, singing and clapping and rejoicing and celebrating. And you know, I didn't see any of it. But the psalmist says, because God is our judge, we can come to him in joy and gladness and celebration and praise. Why? Because he judges with equity. He judges with fairness. He judges with love. That's why we can come to him. And as we will conclude our service today with communion, we can still come to the Lord, because Jesus is our judge. Thank God that Jesus is our judge and nobody else. Because Jesus judges with love and compassion and grace. In the first judgment we read about in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1 verse 31, we are told God saw all that he had made and he judged it was very good. However, when God discovered that Adam and Eve had broken his command, he also brought judgment on them. To the snake, he said, "You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life." He said to Eve, "With pain, you will give birth to children." To Adam, he said, "By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground." And in Genesis 3:23, we read, "The Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken." It was God who judged the earth. It was God who judged the earth in the days of Noah. In Genesis 6, we read, "I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth." When Abraham pleads for Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 18, he says, "Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" God is creator and judge, the only legitimate judge of the world. And he has, and he does, and he always will be judge of the world. However, in the last days, in these days, God has appointed Jesus as judge. The Bible is very clear, isn't it? And I hardly need to go into it this morning, I'm sure. But it's very clear that at some point in the future, a moment which only the Father determines, Jesus will return. If you turn with me to Matthew 24, and let's read just a couple of verses. Matthew 24, verse 30 to 31. It simply says, and again, this is one of many, many verses. It simply says, "At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other." And verse 41. Coming on to that. Jesus is coming again. And it is clear also from the scriptures that when he comes again, he will come as judge. The next chapter, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 again. Again, this is just one of many passages that we could turn to. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." And then we jump to verse 41, where he addresses those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." When Jesus comes, he will come as judge. Clearly, Jesus expected this. Jesus knew that this was part of his role. In Matthew 7, verse 21, we read these well-known words, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me, 'On that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform miracles?' But then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me.'" Jesus was very conscious that one day he would be judge, and that we would stand before him. The early church was also conscious of this. Paul taught in Acts chapter 10, verse 42, "Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead." We can assume from that that at the very heart of Paul's preaching was Jesus the judge, that we will all stand before him as our judge. And not only did Paul teach this, but he expected it for himself. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, he says these words, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day." What a hope he had. He can come to the throne of Jesus, celebrating and dancing and with joy and peace and gladness. Why? Because Jesus is a righteous judge, and he will reward him on that day. It's the separation, isn't it? It's the separation of the righteous and the unrighteous, which is so horrible to think about, isn't it? And it's that separation to the left and to the right which we find so difficult. But I believe there's one thing, just one thing, there's so much that we could say about it, but there's just one thing I want to say about that judgment, and it's this. This judgment of Jesus is not about rewards or punishment imposed from outside of the person. It's not, "You have believed? Great. Come and receive your reward." Or, "You haven't believed, you wicked person. Go away." The judgment of Jesus isn't about rewards and punishment that is imposed from the outside of a person. The judgment of Jesus to send someone to the left or to the right is simply the outcome of the choice a person makes in this life. It is the inherent outcome of the choice that we make in this life. Our eternal destiny is the continuum of our earthly choice. Does that make sense? Our eternal destiny is the continuum of our earthly choice. In a sense, eternity is in our hands. We choose eternal life or not. If we choose to be with Jesus in this life, we will continue to be with Jesus in the next life. But if we choose to be without Jesus in this life, we will continue to be without Jesus in the next life. If we accept the invitation to Jesus' banquet in this life, we will go to it in the next. In a very moving passage in which Moses was addressing the people of Israel just before he died in Deuteronomy 30, he said, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. For goodness sake, choose life." In Jesus, God has set before every person on the face of the earth the choice between death and life, curse and blessing. For goodness sake, choose life. And tell everybody you meet to choose life. You know, while we live, it is never too late to choose life. One man hung on a cross next to Jesus, and moments before he died, he turned to Jesus and he said to him, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus turned to him and said, "I assure you, this day you will be with me in paradise." Hallelujah. And this leads me to my next point. God is judge, but God has appointed Jesus as judge. But before Jesus is judge, he is Savior. When Jesus was alive, the Jewish nation, including his own disciples, was expecting a Messiah who would come and bring judgment on the world, and especially judgment on their oppressors. "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" his disciples asked him after his resurrection. However, although Jesus would have been completely justified in bringing judgment upon the earth, he made it very clear that now was not the time for judgment, but now was the time of salvation. On one occasion in Luke chapter 9, Jesus and his disciples were on their way to Jerusalem when they came to a Samaritan village. However, we read that the people of that village did not welcome him. And the brothers, James and John, who Jesus had given the nickname appropriately, Sons of Thunder, were so incensed by this rejection that they said to Jesus, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them?" But the Bible says Jesus turned to them and rebuked them. And a footnote in our Bibles says this. Some manuscripts add, "And Jesus said to them, 'You do not know what kind of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy people's lives, but to save them.'" Hallelujah. And this is entirely consistent with the picture the Gospels portray. In the reading that Jenny read to us and that I reminded us of in that verse, John 3:17. We know John 3:16. This is John 3:17. Jesus says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the time of salvation, not condemnation. Jesus, a little later in chapter 12 of John's Gospel, cried out, "If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge that person. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." Jesus, before he becomes judge, came as Savior. The cross was God's judgment on sin. The prophet Isaiah foretold he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. And nearly 800 years later, the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 6, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord." Jesus paid the price for our sins. And not just your sins, but the sins of your neighbours. The sins of the people who today will not be in church. The sins of the people who today do not bow the knee to the Lord Jesus. You know he died for you, and I hope you praise him for it. But they don't. Not yet, anyway. He died for them. He paid the price for our sins, so that when we put our faith in him, we are saved from judgment. Brothers and sisters, these are the days of salvation, not for judgment. For mercy, not for punishment. Have you this morning received Jesus as your Saviour? Be sure of this, that one day Jesus shall return to judge the living and the dead. And on that day, how will you stand? What will your defence be? "I tried" will not be good enough. "I was good" will not be good enough. As we come to communion this morning, here is some really good news. Jesus is our judge. He is our Saviour. But on that day of judgment, he is also our defence. In Bible times, defending the accused was such a sacred duty that the judge refused to delegate the work to an attorney. The judge himself served as defense for the accused. When in faith we accept that Jesus died in our place, not only do we experience forgiveness of sins in the here and now, but on that day, which will surely come, as we come and stand before the judgment seat of God, Jesus himself will stand before the Father and plead our case on our behalf. We have no defense of our own, but Jesus becomes our defense for us. And because we are found in Jesus, God finds the evidence he needs and pronounces us innocent. The price has been paid in full. Hallelujah. One commentator said, "Our eternal salvation does not depend on how good we are, but on how sufficient Jesus is in saving sinners." The Apostle John wrote, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also the sins of the whole world. For God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." No condemnation now I dread, for Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine, bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Thanks be to God for his wonderful gift for us. Jesus, our judge, but our Saviour and our defender. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. Let's be still.
If you'd like to leave a comment on the sermon, please do so over at minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed and I'll speak to you soon.